she's a Samaritan. And if you don't know what a Samaritan is, let me say it this way. She is one of the players in the opposing team. All right? Not your home team player. And the home team, the Jews, folks from Judea and Jerusalem, that's the home team in the Gospels. She's not a part of that. She is maybe the crosstown rivals. All right? Who would be the high school crosstown rivals in Sharon?
South Burlington.
Okay.
All right. Anybody from South Burlington?
Okay. We're moving on to a different...
All right. So let's say this. She is a player for the Eagles, and leave it at that, shall we? South Burlington isn't the Eagles, is it? Okay. I'm new enough here. I haven't learned a couple of things. Anyway, so she's a Samaritan, and she's a woman. And one of the sad things in the Gospels and in Scripture, and maybe even in the church, women are not considered to be as important as the guys. Back then, it would have been perfectly fine to have a hashtag, Women Matter, and it would have been appropriate because, anyway. So here we have a woman who is, in two different ways, not one of us. All right, and she comes. She's going about her daily life. She comes. She has to draw water. Who knows how many times every day she has to make the hike to the well to get the water. I don't know if your camping experience includes a central place to get water, or if every campsite has its own spigot, but this is a central water, and wherever you are camping, you got to go there at least once a day, and we know it's not once. So she's there, going about her daily life, and there's a stranger there, and you know, it's hard to tell before somebody talks, but she thinks that maybe the stranger is from Judea, from Jerusalem, and she's frankly tired of their attitude. So she's thinking the less said, the better. And then the stranger opens his mouth, and she knows full well that the stranger is from the other team. And the stranger says, "Hey, how about a drink of water?" And this confuses her. It confuses her because men did not talk to women if there was no other people around, all right? Folks from Judea, Jerusalem did not talk to Samaritans. That just didn't happen. And so she says, "What? You're talking to me?" Instead of following with, "I don't see anybody else standing here," he says, "Yes." If you knew, you'd be asking me for living water. Now, there's an overlay here that the history has laid onto that phrase, living water. We tend to think of it as a water of life that is going to bring eternal life and new life and all of those things. What it really meant was moving water. All right. If you're out hiking and you see a pond of still water and a stream where the water is moving, which water source seems like the better, safer bet to you folks? Living water is what it gets called. Yes, the moving water. All right. And so that's what she hears him say. If you knew who was talking to you, you'd be asking me for that living water. Well, she is utterly confused by this because she sees no living water, no moving water. And she says, sir, you have no bucket, and the well, which is still, is deep. So don't talk to me about getting living water from you. It ain't happening. At the same time, you know, she realizes that if he could give her this living water so that she would never be thirsty again, that would be great. No more trips to the well. No more lugging the jug to the well and then back again. Who knows how many times? This sounds good to her. All right? It sounds real good. And so she begins to think, well, okay, maybe. And then this stranger says, hey, you know, go get your husband and I can maybe get you that living water. She says, well, I don't really have a husband per se. And he says, yeah, that's right. There's no judgment here. I mean, sometimes, again, history has laid this veneer over this woman that somehow, because she's had a couple of different husbands and isn't actually married right now, that somehow she is sinful in some. No, there's nothing in that, in this story. But she knows that she does not have a clear husband and says so. And he says, yeah, you're right. And that tells her that something's going on here. This is a prophet. This is a holy man. This is something. Somebody special. And you know what? She all of a sudden realizes what she wants. She wants him to be the Messiah, the Savior. Because then this whole division between the Samaritans and the Judeans, Jerusalemites, could be healed. They're cousins. They used to be of the same family. They used to be on the same team. And then they weren't. And now they don't like each other. Kind of a lot. And she would love that hurt, that brokenness, to be healed. She'd like them to be one again. She'd like the question of who's right and who's wrong to be settled. And that's something the Messiah can do. And she realizes she wants that living water, not to be thirsty again, not to be schlepping that jug back and forth and forth and back. That is what she wants. Now, wanting is the core of spirituality. It is realizing that there's something that you want. Not physical, but something that somehow fulfills, completes, settles you, brings you a sense of peace. That's spirituality, when you start searching for that. And now she's searching for that. And she leaves her daily life behind. Did you notice she left the jug? She left it. She goes back to her people, the other team in this case, and says, holy man, amazing. Something's going on here. He couldn't be the Messiah, could he? I can sense this want in that. She wants it. And it's so good that she doesn't quite want to believe it. But she's thinking it might be so. Oh, it'd be so good if that was so. And so she says, could it be? And everybody goes. And that's pretty cool because they realize they want something too. And they're going to go search for that. We can call it a spiritual journey. We can call it curiosity. We can call it knowing that life isn't full until such time. But they go. And eventually, they have their own experience. But we're told that it was her experience transmitted to them, communicated to them, that brought them to the realization they wanted to find out too. And that, for me, is a key part of the story. Once she figures out what she wants, there is this search. And if we're going to follow this woman, then I think we need to follow both of those things. This sense of wanting, of needing something. We can call it peace. We can call it hope. We can call it a way to live. We can call it almost anything we want. We can call it a way for the brokenness to get healed. We can find any sort of language about what that might be. And she's not sure. And we need to be clear about that. All right? There's always this sense that we need to be perfect. We need to have certainty. We need to know. Well, we're not hometown announcers. All right? We are fans. And we cannot say, oh, yes, certainly, absolutely. We have to say, this is what I think. I think that this person can save me from aimlessness and sin. I think I have discovered, I have experienced this person, this way of hoping to satisfy something deep inside, close to my heart. And if we can name and claim what we want, that longing, and if we can name and claim that we're searching for that, we're being spiritual, about as spiritual as anybody can be. But if we're going to follow her, then let's follow her just a little bit more. And realize that when she goes back to her people, she says, hey, I experienced something. He knew me. We were strangers, but he knew me. I like being known. And he gave me hope. He made some promises. I like that, too. I'm not saying, but I'm wondering if that's the sign. All right? Now, in business, they will sometimes talk about elevator conversations. The idea is that if you get onto an elevator with somebody and you're trying to sell something, or your business has something that needs to be communicated, can you, in that elevator ride, tell somebody else enough about your product or your business so that they are able to say, huh, tell me more. All right, an elevator conversation. And there are no elevators in Samaria. There are no elevators in Sharon. What about South Florida? Any elevators there?
There's one, yeah.
Is there? Yep. This is not a great elevator, right?
It's at the Sun
Club.
I think the school has an elevator
something. All right. There were no elevators in Samaria. Let's just start and end there, shall we? All right. No elevators in Samaria. In part because there's no electricity. And Mr. Otis hadn't done any investigating yet. But today we might very well talk about the water cooler conversation, waiting in line with somebody, shopping in Hannaford and saying, oh, now do you know that? Do you like that product? Because I'm looking for something that's good. Or seeing somebody look, searching, and saying, yeah, you know what? I just tried that. That is good. Oh, like it. All right? Just starting any sort of conversation. It can be as simple as, hey, could you get me some water? Could you hand me that bottle of water? Thanks. Now, that is what she has done. And whether you are a scout, whether you are a part of this church, a part of another church, part of an organization like the Health Initiative or the Food Pantry, you need to know your elevator conversation. You need to know what you're going to say if you find yourself in
the elevator that apparently is in Sharon and in South Royalton, and you all of a sudden realize that you can say something. Now me, I got about, what, 3 sentences, 4 sentences? Me, I would say, I want a community that is looking to figure out how to live faithfully. And at Sharon Church, belonging matters. And belonging makes a difference. And I want to belong, and I want to make a difference. That's my elevator conversation. All right? I'm not trying to claim anything more. Oh, it's great, the music is lovely, the preacher is so profound. people aren't going to believe these things, all right? So you just simply say what it is you want, what it is you're looking for. Now, quick question. Has anybody ever had to give an elevator conversation to about scouting or about church or an organization? If you have, help others by just telling us quickly what that elevator conversation was or is. Just so.
I would not have been in this church if it weren't for the fact that the minister, Betty Edson, left a note in my mailbox saying, please come to a potluck supper.
All right. An invitation. Absolutely.
I got into scouting because someone said, hey, you wanted something to do after school? Yeah. And that's all it took. I wanted something. They offered it. That was it. I went. And don't worry, guys. If you are a senior patrol leader, it doesn't mean that you have to become a minister. That's just one of the things that might possibly happen. It is great leadership training, though. Let me say that. So, we have Jesus there, and we just cannot ignore the fact that he taught. He cared about a Samaritan, he cared about a woman. All the Samaritans, all the other team people, we just need to care about as well. But it's the woman who says, I'm going to search for, and is able to say to others, hey, I found what I was searching for. And then it ends up that the people that she tells that to, they too have their own experience from her elevator conversation. In a place that had no elevators, I know, but you know what I'm talking about. And that, for me, is a big part of what the story is trying to say to us. We all search. We all have needs, wants, and we can find that. And for those folks who are constantly looking for something new, some way of having a life that seems significant, we look at this. We talk about living water. We talk about having an end to our wanting, our longing. And since that emptiness is a part of that imagery, we have food, bread, and the juice. And it is for us what gets offered, like living water, like something that is going to meet a longing for peace, for hope, for belonging, for significance, for making a difference in the world. It's a sign of that, and it is a way for us to remember that we are all on the same team. Now, folks, this is not mine. It's not the church's to control. And if you feel like this is going to be something that might be of
spiritual significance to you, come on up and take it. All right? If you find that this might be something that you want to experience, come on up. Here's how we do it. We have bread and we have a cup. We take a piece of bread either, and you'll probably have to break it off of a larger piece, and then we dip it, and then we eat it. All right? And it really is just that simple. You don't need to have a perfect faith. You don't have to have a deep conviction. You have to be spiritual. You have to be longing. You have to find something that you're looking for and hope that it's here. But whenever we do this, we pray. And pray with me, please. Come now, O holiest one, and bless this bread. Bless these crackers and allow them to fill a deep hunger in us. And bless, too, this juice. Allow it to be a symbol of a living water that can satisfy us, not just now, but forevermore. Amen.